Matthew 14, 21. I give honor to our co-pastor in her blue and yellow. She hate that kind of stuff. Boy, I remember I left a church one time. They liked the preacher, but they was hard on the preachette. You can't have the preacher without the preachette. I guarantee you, I'm gone. So we give honor to everybody else in your place too as well. It says, and they had eaten and were about 5,000 men and women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he set the multitude away. He sent them away. They needed some rest. Everybody say rest. Everybody say rest. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He then gave out. He needed some rest. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the winds were contrary. Meaning the winds was coming from various directions. Anybody ever been in a storm like that? Stuff coming at you from all different sides. Fourth watch of the night, Jesus went up and walked before them, walking on the sea. Say, Jesus is a storm chaser. That's somebody's word right there. Well, whatever storm you at, God gonna find you. He gonna get you out. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for him for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and asked him to bid him to come on the water. And he told Peter, what did he tell Peter? He said, come. How many know that Peter couldn't walk on the water before this? When Jesus sends Peter a word, Peter now has ability. See, a lot of times people want to do things without a word, and then they wonder why it won't work, because they ask God, they don't have a word yet. Because if you had a word, you have been empowered to do it. And Peter came down out the boat. He walked on the water, got to Jesus, and he saw the boisterous winds. He was afraid, and he began to speak. And he cried unto the Lord, Lord, save me. Say immediately three times. Immediately, immediately, immediately. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou little faith, why dost thou doubt? I want to talk to you today about rest. Everybody say rest. You can have your seat. Resting, right? Sometimes you just got to stick with God before you get your rest. And if you stick with God, God will put you in a place to where whatever storm you're in, you'll find peace. Because this storm was really designed to disrupt people's, the disciples rather, peace, disrupt their rest. They done served all these people, done all these things. Jesus took them to the mountain for rest. He sent the disciples away from him because he needed some rest. And then he knew the next day they was going to hunt him down again. So he said, get on the boat. Let's go to the other side for rest. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I come to talk to some people that just need some rest. You've been in some storm, feeling defeated or maybe depressed or discouraged. But the truth of it is, whatever the devil been telling you, it's a lie. Say it's a lie. You know, if you listen to any voice that don't sound like God's voice, especially if it's the devil, you listening to a lie. You listening to a lie. Say it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. And so I've been sent to tell you that you got to use your faith, whatever storm you're in, to come out. You're going to stay in that storm if you don't use your faith. And this is why the devil don't want people developed in faith. Most Christians are not developed in faith. You know how you can tell? Because all they do is whine and complain, murmur and fight and backbite and cuss and carry on. They're not in no faith. But yet they come to church and they serve. And they act like they're happy, but when you listen to them, you don't hear no faith. You don't hear them talking like victory is in them. You don't hear them talking like they see the expected end, right? Because if you're gonna line your mouth up with what you're trying to do, you're gonna find it hard to come out of whatever you in. Shout, I gotta get my faith out. You got to use faith to come out of pits. You use faith to come out. When I say pits, I mean depressed places or low places, right? The only time you should be in a low place is if God is telling you to get down because he's finna do something to the enemies around you and he don't want you to get caught up in it. But if you're in any type of low place that's robbing you of your peace of mind and your victory, you got to say, come out of that pit. You got to use faith to come out of lack. You know, you're not going to come out of lack. I'm talking about, financial lack. I want to make it clear. Because sometimes people act like you ain't supposed to talk about money or nothing else in church. All they want to do is talk about heaven, and we already got heaven settled. And God ain't against you having money or having things. Streets are paved with gold in heaven. So God ain't against that. Only people who don't know how to use faith are against people talking about other people coming up out this junk. Say, we coming out. You got to use faith to stop feeling sorry for your life. You know, at some point, you should get sick of talking about your brokenness. This thing gone. At some point, you should get sick of hearing your own broken story. And I'm not minimizing nothing nobody's been through in your life. You should get tired of it. And if you can ever get to a point to where you get tired of it, give me a little bit more volume, sir. You should know other people been tired of it. All right? You should get tired of talking about your storm. At some point, you have to use your faith to do what? Come out of that pit. You got to say, I got to use my faith. So you got to stop listening to wrong stuff and wrong people in this hour. The biggest adjustment you're going to have when you're already in a losing condition, it's coming away from people who are living in that losing condition. You say, I don't want to leave them. I want us to all come out. Put your own mask on first and save yourself. If you can come out and survive, then you can help somebody else. But if you got a taste for victory, you got to come out of listening to wrong people in wrong environments. You got to stop watching the wrong stuff. You know, the economy going down ain't got nothing to do with me. Say, we live on a different economy. But the news will make you feel like you're going to lose your job every single day. The news will make you feel like, I mean, the temperature's been so nice around here. We've been getting so much rain. They'll make you feel like every state on the planet is melting. And they may be hot, but we living in a nice place right here. Say, it ain't even touching me. I'm going to pray for other people, but I ain't caught up in that. So you got to stop watching the wrong stuff. You know, that's why reality TV is so popular, because it connects with people who already caught up in a storm. And you looking at this woman talk crazy to her husband, they only together because they own that show. When that show is over, he going to divorce her for talking so crazy to him in public. And now you trying to do the same junk on your man or your wife. So you got to watch what you're watching. I'm going to help you. Say rest. Mm-hmm. So rest is important. You got to feed your faith. That's what you do in church. You feed your faith. You want to hear something that's going to build you up, at least something. The whole message may not be that, but you want to hear something that's going to build you up, and then you have to starve your concerns and your fears. Meaning that if I don't have enough, what sense does it make for me to be up walking the floor talking about I ain't got enough? Right? What sense does it, if my marriage ain't the best, what sense does it make for me to be calling everybody on the planet talking about it? Maybe I need to pray for his salvation, watch this, or my deliverance, or both of them. Maybe he need to be saved and you need to be delivered. You talk too much. I mean, you know, when somebody going through, they don't want somebody always in their ear. Is this the right church? They don't want to hear you. You need to be praying for them, and then you can say, God, deliver me out of this. Part of God delivering you out of that is saving them from whatever they're doing or not doing. Your deliverance is tied to their salvation somehow. Their deliverance is tied to your, we'll work on that later, it's fine. I'll get through it. But their deliverance is tied to, your deliverance is tied to their salvation somehow. So you're not going to come out if they're the source of your problem until they get changed. Say, God, save everything and everybody around me. I need my deliverance and I need my rest. I need my deliverance and I need my rest. I don't want to be fixing my kids' problem till I die. I know you like to feel needed. Good for you. Sometimes I don't want to feel needed. I just want to be left alone. I just want to rest. I just want to be able to sleep. I don't want to hear a creature stirring, not even a mouse. I want my rest. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? So you got to be selective of who you're listening to right now. You got to be selective of who you listening to and who you watching. See, like a lot of people, let me deal with this real spirit real quick because I posted this on my page. A lot of churches are dealing with homosexualities because their churches, their pastors are so weak. They're so weak. They won't tell people the truth. So they can't be freed. You have to hear truth before a person can be freed. But they worried about offending somebody. You know God ain't going to bless that matrimony, them people. Even though they are madly in love, they cannot get the grace of matrimony. 1 Peter 5, they can't get the grace of matrimony on their life because they're not married. They're living together. But won't nobody tell them that? They love them so much, they say, that they don't want to hurt them or offend them. Maybe they don't love them enough. So you see, doctor, pastor, reverend, all the other initials in front of his name, Jamal Bryant telling the church, they need to apologize to the homosexual community. So you hear me telling people, watch who you listening to. Well, I listened to a sermon and he sounded, and I liked it. It was good to me. He did okay. He do well sometimes. See, that's how the devil gets you. He do good to you sometime. He do good for a person just enough to get them hooked so he can do something dirty to you. So you have to watch who you listening to. You have to be selective. Say, I'd rather hear the truth. I'd rather hear the truth. I'd rather go home mad and hear the truth than to go home happy with a lie. I'd rather go home mad. Because as long as I'm meditating on that word and its truth, something is happening in me. Something is working in me. Something is setting me free. And the longer I meditate on it, even if I'm upset, something is disconnecting in my soul. Because I'm meditating on the word of God and something is happening in me. Tell somebody, say, something is happening in you. So you have to be selective about who you listening to and who you watching right now. Go to Hebrews 3. Because the devil will make you feel like this is the only way for you. I've been hurt so bad. I've been messed up so bad. I done had this. See, there you go. And the more you think on that, he's disturbing your peace by making you feel like there's no help for your situation. Ain't no help for my marriage. Ain't no help for my finances. Ain't no help for my child. Say it's help for everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his best so that you can get your rest. It starts with Jesus. It starts with a person turning from people all the time and turning to him. So in Hebrews 3, he says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you would hear his voice, say, harden not your heart." We're still dealing with that, but get your rest. Say, I got to get my rest. He says, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, he says, when your fathers tempted me, they tested me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. You know, it's interesting. It didn't say that they tried to test them. For a season, God did let them test him. He did allow them to test him. They really wasn't testing God, though. They first started off by testing God through his servant, Moses. And so God allowed it for a season. And then he says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Boy, you're in a bad place when you start grieving God. And he said, they do error in their heart. That's why you got to watch who you're listening to. Everybody not qualified to be teaching nobody. They ain't mastered nothing in their own life. That boy, I don't care what nobody say, and am I picking on him? I am. That boy done had so many kids out of wedlock since he been a preacher. He ain't got no business preaching to nobody. And a lot of people ain't got no business leading nobody. They can't lead nobody family because they family so messed up. Amen or oh my. And they wanna instruct you. They wanna tell you, but they can't even prove that it's worked for them, not even a little bit. And so he said, watch, he says, I was grieved with these people. He said, they error in their heart. They have not known my ways. They have not, the truth makes you free. They have not known my ways. They have not known my ways. They have not known my, if you don't know his ways, then you don't know him. If you don't know him, you don't know how he going to show up. If you don't know how he's going to show up, you don't know when he's going to show up because you do not know his ways. People don't know what God approves of no more. They don't know what he disapproves of no more. So they live like the devil because the devil is the one that's training them because they do not know God's ways. Churches won't preach truth to people no more because they like your rump sitting in the seat because they like you applauding messages that's not even according to the word of God. They have not known. Because when you know his ways, you can demonstrate his ways. You can live according to his ways. You can do what he says according to his will. He said, they don't know my ways. He says, so watch this. I swore in my wrath, they should not enter what? See, when you know his ways, it changes. It don't change God. It changes you. When you change, you enter into rest. When they changed enough, they entered into Canaan. Canaan was a type of rest. Now, were there adversaries in there? Yeah, there was adversaries there, but when they first got there, they weren't fighting no whole bunch of adversaries. They was entering into a place where there was milk and there was honey. They was allotting land. Now, don't be no dumb-dumb. You know, sometimes the place where God wants that's yours, the devil is occupied there. He been living there hoping that you was just going to give him to him. But then God will bring you into a place of rest. And then when you get your rest and you strong enough, and then he'll say, hey, look over there. That's yours too. That's yours too. I know they living on it. I know they acting like it's theirs, but it's not theirs. It was never theirs. That's yours too. Your mom and daddy waited too long because they wouldn't listen to me. I had to get them out the way, but that was their. They were supposed to get that too. That's yours too. What am I saying? That's some blessings that your mama and your daddy didn't get that God is going to reveal it unto you and you're going to get it. Say, that belongs to me too. So watch this. He says, take heed. That means God said you should be listening. I don't know how people sleep in church. I don't even know how people miss church, quite frankly. I just don't know how. I don't know how, because our spiritual walk is like building blocks. The absence of one can cause jingle, what the tower game. The absence of one of those pegs can cause the whole thing to fall down. And God be building people the right way, and do you know what happened? They start missing. I'm going to preach this whether you say amen or not. They start missing. They start missing key building blocks to their faith, and then they get the tower halfway up. And they, God, why this fall over? Because you miss key pegs. You miss things that would keep it in place as I begin to take you higher. Say, I'm a doer of the word of God. I won't miss what belongs unto me so that I can do his ways. So watch this. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you any evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, right here, what he's doing, he's pointing the children of Israel, he's pointing them back to the point from where he delivered them out of slavery and bondage. That's what that passage is talking about. And he is warning them. He's warning us, rather, because everything that was written for our learning. That's why the devil don't want people. He wants people to throw out the Old Testament. Because that's a book, really, of a lot of examples. Natural examples. People say, well, the Red Sea really didn't split. Then why God put it in the Bible and said it did? He wants people to think that David didn't take a rock and kill a demon. Everything that was written. He want to make people think that the wilderness wasn't real. These are metaphors. These are analogies. These are just whatever. Say, no, it really happened. So it's written for our learning, and he is warning us. He says he's warning us, don't do what they did. Don't do what they did. Well, what they do? Well, we're gonna figure out what they did. So because sometimes we think we do, or we're not doing or living the same way they did. We look at our lives, and the truth of it is we live in the same way a lot of people lived in the past. But we think we're going to escape the negative results. Did you get that? You can watch people around you, how you grew up, how they lived. How many know that your kids hear every argument that happened in your house? They hear when you correcting other kids. Now, as they get old, they can put two and two together. They're not just hearing it, they can understand. If they're smart, they shouldn't do the same thing that the other person did. We live in communities. We see people live. You know what heroin going to do to people. You know what crack is going to do. I know he's going to. You know exactly how hard that girl's life was, or your mom or your grandma. You know exactly how hard it was when they had four kids and they weren't married. You know, you wasn't blind. You seen the same stuff. But we don't take heed to what we are hearing or what we seeing. We've seen how it is when you have an affair out of your marriage. You saw the collateral damage that it brought to people in your community or in your family. But we think that we can do the same thing and then escape the negative results. How many know that's devilish? I say, how many know that's devilish? I know this too raw for you. Some of you like pity pat stuff. You like little squeaky clean stuff. That's why you can't get no deliverance when you've been coming to church, because people won't talk straight to you. Let me help these brothers and sisters that love pornography. I don't know why that even just popped in my head, but it is. It ain't even on my notes. Do you know, many years ago, I was listening to a thing. It was a little clip or a movie, a little mini thing. And they were talking to people that were incarcerated. Many, it was men. It wasn't women, but the same thing applies to women. That many of them were incarcerated for some of the most heinous crimes. They were incarcerated for some of the most heinous crimes that people could think of, Pastor Jackie. And do you know almost every one of those guys, saying that they went back, they talking to them. How many know when you're on death row and you ain't ever getting out of jail, you ain't really got to lie to nobody? You ain't never getting out. So I take them for what they say to be true. They don't have no reason to lie to you. When you can't do nothing to me, I don't have to lie to you. I'm already on death row. It don't get no better from here, you understand, unless I'm going to heaven. But they, all of them had their first real connection with bondage and sin. Do you know what it was? Pornography or their dad's magazines. All of them. All of them. See, I'm talking to somebody that you don't see no problem with it. But the devil is getting in you. And he's coming after your peace. He's coming after peers where you should be resting, but you're fighting because you're struggling with stuff. And you say, I can't break this, but yet you love the Lord, but yet you can't get delivered. How many of your God is here to deliver you today? Your part is to go home and clean up your phone and clean up your iPad and clean up your computer. Meaning what? You got to participate in your own deliverance. Don't be no dum-dum and think God don't just come in and do it for you. You got to do something your own self. But people get in this mess, right? And they think their results going to be different. But God said positive talk is not going to turn around what's happening to you. They think positive talk is going to help them escape the devil. Say, not if you're doing the same thing. Say, not if you're doing the same stuff. The devil will use that stuff to bring you down. Tell somebody, say, change up, change up, change up. You got to change up some stuff. If you're going to get to where God wants you to be, you can't think like people. You can't think like your old self. You can't live like your old self. If any man be in Christ, he or she is what? They are a new creation. Say, I can't live like my old self. I can't think like my old self. I can't defend my old self. When I did mess and people are preaching about it, when I want to be delivered, I can't defend my old self because I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. That person is dead. So now, and I applaud their death. I applaud that they died in the realm of the spirit. Now, say, I'm born again now. But I can't think like that. I can't live like that. I can't act like that. I can't talk like that. I can't think like that. This is out of sequence. Say out of sequence. But I'm going to come back to it. I thank God for bringing it to me now because I'm not going to be able to get to it. But you know, many people, minister, amen, it's God, the devil gets in them, watch this, because they think thoughts are nothing. They think thoughts are nothing. The devil has, it's just a thought. It's nothing manifested. Everything in the natural realm comes from a spiritual realm, which would let you know that thoughts are spiritual. So he bring people down, Deacon Strange, with depression. If a pill won't solve it, it's what you're thinking on. What do I mean by the pill? I'm saying like, if a woman have a baby, she can go through postpartum. That's nothing. Her chemicals are just off in their body. A medical person can reset that. If they go and whatever they're doing medically won't reset it, then it's what they're thinking on that's bringing them down, because the depression is spiritual. But people have taught people that thoughts are nothing. But your thoughts ain't just nothing. The thought is what how the enemy is getting into people's lives. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I change it by thinking on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are righteous, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever. I offset the thoughts. Why? Because thoughts are spiritual. Say, I'm aligning my mind with the Word of God. Say, I'm aligning my thoughts with the Word of God. I cast down every negative imagination. I cast down every negative thought. I bring every negative thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Bow, devil. Bow, devil. Bow to the Word of God. My mind is holy. My mind is righteous. I live in peace. I live in happiness. I live in harmony with God. In Jesus' name. But I'm not going to let him have my mind. I'm not just going to walk away and like, it's just a thought. No, he controlling you. He wants you to think that what you're thinking on don't mean nothing. Imaginations can release fantasies. Fantasies are so spiritual that whatever you meditate on, you're actually acting it out in your mind. That's why Jesus says, if a man think to sleep with a woman and lust after a woman, he's already committed adultery with her, because it's spiritual. Right. Tell somebody, say, align your mind. Say, my mind is aligned with God. He says, but exhort one another while it is called today. You can do it. Everything that I'm talking about in here is not beyond reach. If you're born again, it's not beyond your reach. Your past don't disqualify you, because your righteousness don't save you. If my righteousness don't save me, then my past can't disqualify me, because Jesus done paid it all. It's not beyond reach. Meaning you can get there. You can be the woman or the man that God has called you to be. Say, shout, and I will be. I will be. You can be the woman or the man of God has called you to be. Say, I will be. I will be. Everything God has called me to be, I will be. You're not disqualified. He says, but exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Because the deceitfulness of sin is to make, the only way you can be really deceived by sin is a couple ways, but so this ain't exhaustive, meaning that the other ways, it's just a couple, meaning that you must want to believe that lie. So people know God ain't threw the Old Testament out. Murder was wrong then, murder wrong now. Lying was wrong then, lying is wrong now. Sleeping around was wrong then, it's wrong now. Incest was wrong then, it's wrong now. They know this. But the enemy wants people to believe, and what's happening is, every time you know the truth and you ignore it, you become desensitized to the Holy Spirit, and your heart is becoming hard towards it. Meaning that you can say, not me. Say, I'm a doer. Say, I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the Word of God. But a person can sit right in church and hear the truth, and because they are desensitized to it and hard to it, they become angry because that's not how I see it. Well, that's not my interpretation of it. That's only one interpretation of Scripture. Ain't no, there's no, the Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there is no private interpretation of Scripture. There ain't no private interpretation. You can't sit up and say, that's how I see it. That's what I believe. No, the Bible tells us what we're supposed to believe. It tells us what we're supposed to think. It tells us how we're supposed to live. He tells us what belongs unto us. He tells us the victories that are available to us. But when I say, no, that's not how I see it. Well, my mama, well, my daddy, well, my cousin, well, this, well, this, well, this, well, this. Yeah, but it don't make no difference. The devil will let somebody escape so they'll make people think that that's the will of God. So other people or the majority will stop going after the will of God. Some will go after God. Some going after God. Come on, shout. You do what you want to do. I'm going after God. Say, the Bible is right. Somebody else is wrong. I'm going after God. I don't care what preachers say. I don't care what mama say. I don't care what nobody say. I'd rather be wrong with them and right with God. Rather right with God and wrong. I'm going to stay right with God. I don't care what they think. So the question is, why is sin so deceitful? Watch this. Because sin will make you feel you can play without consequences. Hey, look at me. And a lot of people, I'm talking about people that are born again, Pastor Jackie, they think like that. But you know, here's the truth. Grace can do a lot of things, but it don't always solve consequences. It don't always solve consequences. Sometimes the consequence for something still plays out, but grace helps you get through it. But the consequence still plays out. So what people be trying to do is Jedi mind trick God. And they say, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to run, and I'm going to get up under grace. But how many know you testing God, you playing with God? I say people who think like that, and this is why sometimes God won't relieve people of the consequence, because he knew the whole time they was playing with him. And what they was going to do, they was going to do what they wanted to do, and then I'm going to run up under grace, and grace is going to relieve me of the consequence. But God say, no, you ain't going to learn your lessons. I am going to forgive you. I am going to help you get to, but the consequence is going to remind you, say, never do it again, never do it again, never do it. The consequence reminds you to stop certain behavior. But people, the enemy will make people think they can play without consequences. How many know that's devilish? I say, how many know that's devilish? It makes you feel, the devil use sin to make you feel when he done got you down that you can't get up. But God is saying that you can get up. He'll make you feel like what you done, that God won't help you get up. No, God will help you get up. Sin will make you feel like you can outsmart it and the devil. How many know there are consequences for it? And you're not going to outsmart the devil playing with his stuff. You know, the dumbest people, they're not dumb. Maybe they are. You know Las Vegas ain't geared for you to win. The house lets you win. Winner on red. Winner on red. Winner on red. Could you let me loan me some more? I'm winning. I'm pay the house out. No. Put your ring in there. Put my ring in there. Give me the house. Give me the house mortgage. Give me the note. Put the house up there. Put the car in there. Clean the account out. Loser on red. See, because he baits you in by making you think you're going to get a victory. Las Vegas ain't geared for you to win. You knew you was going to lose when you showed up here. You knew you was going to lose when you went out there. You knew the same thing that happened to them was going to. See, we think it's going to be different for us. Say, Jesus is the difference maker. I'm trying to get to rest. I may not get there today. Say, Jesus is the difference maker. And the Lord says, you've seen enough in your life that what's done happened to other folks, you could have learned to stay away from certain people, places, and things, but you can't be there. But the Lord says, as you come to him today, he's going to reboot your spirit. He's going to reset your heart. He's going to help you turn back to him today. Come on, say amen to this. God wants us full. God wants you back. God wants you in a place where you can really win with no consequences. And that starts with walking in him. Say, God wants me back. He says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So what comes to get people's confidence? Storms. People don't like going through. They want to preach to you about the coming out, but they don't want to go through. They want to tell you that God can do it. God can get you out. God can heal you. God can do this. They don't want to be sick, though. They don't want to have to go through nothing. They just want to talk about what God can do. But see, you don't really have no true anointing until you went through what you're preaching about. I say, you really don't have no oil. You heard a story. Say, God has taken me from a story to a testimony. Say, God is moving me from a story to a testimony. God is going to take me through this storm, and when I come out, I'm going to have something worth talking about and worth writing about. Say, God has taken me from a talk to a testimony. Whatever you're going through, God is shifting you. When you come out of this, you're going to have an anointing to set some captives free. When you come out of this, when you speak to somebody about that situation, all you're going to have to do is talk on the anointing, and they're going to be free, but it won't be just talk no more. No, they don't mind you going through, but they don't want to go through. And what's separating people from God is that they won't be steadfast in God when they're going through. They squirm and they wiggle and they're looking for ways to get out. They won't just buckle down up unto God. No, God, I got to come out of this. I need to come out of this today. I got to get out of this situation. If you don't save that man, I'm going to divorce him. If you don't fix my wife, I'm going to leave her. No, they want to talk to you about how God can do it in marriage, but they don't want to. See, I'm moving from talk to a testimony, and I'm going to get some oil with it. See, I'm moving from talk to a testimony. That's why a lot of people can't be freed in church, because everybody preaching to them ain't nothing but talk. They ain't went through nothing. They can't talk to you about no marriage. They ain't almost about to divorce their wife, or she was about to divorce them. They ain't never went through nothing. They don't want to go through nothing. Tell somebody if you're in that spot, God got you in it for a reason. Tell them, say, he knew you was going to hit that storm when he told you to go to the other side. How can you not get to the other side and you got a word from the Lord? Don't reject the storm. The storm is there to interrupt your peace. You already know you're going to make it to the other side, but you got to go through the storm, because the storm is going to give you a testimony with some anointing on it, and you're going to move from a talk to a testimony. But it's, give the Lord a good hand of praise. But you talk too much about something you ain't been through. You got to go through something to get something. He says, while it is today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Harden not your heart. What does it mean? If you want to turn around, you got to use faith. Don't get hard up under the situation. You're never coming out like that. People think if they get upset with God, that's going to provoke them. God don't really deal with emotions. He responds to people's faith. Well, I was just crying out to the Lord. I was just crying out to the Lord. I didn't even really know what to say. Yeah, But you was crying out to him, but that was communicating to him. You were reaching out to him. But sometimes people get so hard, they won't even cry no more. You ever been so hard that you couldn't cry? Oh, ho, ho, ho. What's happening to you? You're living beyond feeling. You're hard. Some stuff should make you cry. Let's just say my wife hurt me. She hurt me. She hurt me. I cry. Let's reverse that. I don't want them to think I'm a sissy. Okay, I'll keep it. But she hurt me. She hurt me. She hurt me. My crying lets her know my feelings and I'm still in the game. When I stop crying, but I stay, I'm here, but I done checked out. How many know that if I'm going to love her, God don't want me checking out? He'll get them to eventually stop what they doing to me, but he don't want what they doing to me to harden me to a point that it changes me. Now God can't do nothing. Is this making any spiritual sense to you? He'll use the, say, harden not your heart. And so how do I deal with this? Jesus gave us the example in the first chapter. He was in the same storm that they was in, but he was at rest. Well, he God. No, he is God, but he's God in the flesh. Meaning what? He could die. He could drown in the storm just like they could. But he couldn't die in the storm. He got purpose in the earth. Not only do he have purpose in the earth, he knows that he can use faith to dominate a storm. Watch this. Jesus gets up in the same storm that they was in. He was sleeping in the storm first. When they wake him up, he chastises them. Oh, ye of little faith. Where is your faith? And then he demonstrated to them what faith is supposed to do to a storm. And he stood up because people think you're being corny when you're in a situation and you speak into it. You're not just speaking to it, you're prophesying its obedience. You're making it come in compliance with what God wants to happen. He says, okay, I'm going to show you how to do this. And he stands up in faith, knowing that if he has a word from God, I should have faith in operation. And no matter what the situation is, and then he says, peace be still. And the winds and the waves stop. I dare three people to just shout, peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be, whatever's going wrong in your life, I'm gonna look at the storm in faith and I'm going to prophesy to it. Shout, peace be still. Peace be still. And you know what happened? And that storm had to obey him. But the devil say, remember I told you, thoughts are spiritual. He's like, that's so corny. That's so corny. You, because the devil will laugh at you. he'll you, especially if you do it around other people, because most people don't realize when the devil is working through them. You're trying to speak into the house, into the atmosphere, change the demonic tone of the thing, and then your spouse will be laughing. That stuff don't work. It do work. It do work. It do work because you are created like God. The earth was formed and without void, and darkness was upon it. And God said, let there be. And it was. And you created like God. Whatever's void and empty and powerless and dark in your life, All you have to say, let there be. Say, let there be. Let there be my peace. Let there be my increase. Let there be my breakthrough. Say, let it be. Now, this is more than what it is. This deal with more, mother, than just manifestation. That pen is mine. You got it in your hand. Watch this. Let there be. Let it be. See, sometimes you got to rebuke the devil for manifestation to happen in your life. He's holding your creative ability. Let it be. Are you getting what I'm saying? She got it because the devil has been kicked out of heaven by now. Where's he at? Where's he at? He's on the earth. He's created the chaos. God didn't create none of this. Everything that was already created. God just said, let it be. I prophesy whatever the devil's holding in your life, I command him to let it be. I command it to let it loose. I command you, whatever your manifestation is, whatever you've been screaming out for, shout, let it be three times. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Let my healing be, let my deliverance be, let my children be, let my spouse be, let my husband be, let my wife be, let my money be, let my mind be. Shout, let it be. It already was. It already is. Shout, let it be. So the devil, he be messing with people. He want to make, my time is up. He want to make you feel, my watch didn't meet, usually my clock go off, that thing. Say, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whatever's hung up in the heavenlies, it's going to make it to you. Let's stand up and get out of here. Not many days hence, I didn't get nowhere. That's my introduction. You come back, I'll finish it. Whatever's been held up, not many days hence, you're going to get it. Don't let your situation change you. Find a way to rest right where you're at. God going to do the heavy lifting. I say God is going to do the majority of the heavy lifting. You know what he's asking us to do? Just stay in a place of faith. That's all God is asking you to do. All God is asking you to do is keep believing him no matter what storm it is, no matter what the difficulty is. That's all God is really asking us to do. Is don't turn to an evil heart of unbelief. Don't let your heart be hard. Don't let what people did to you or saying to you or currently doing to you, don't let it change you. Don't let it make you worse. Don't let it make you bitter. God is going to make you better if you keep the right attitude and you keep your faith in him. Whatever's bogged up, I release it unto you not many days hence. So you see the Lord move upon it. Whatever's been robbing you and making you walk the floor, I pray not many days from now, may you see the Lord step into that situation and right it for your good. Like, I don't know, it's like, I guess it's two women, but you being mistreated right now. Not many days from now, the Lord gonna get involved in that. And he's gonna create a peace, but the peace is gonna happen in you first. And then he's going to cause that thing, that storm, that mistreatment to just come to an end. Like if you laid down and you got up and it's over. You laid down, you got up, say it's over three times. It's over, it's over, it's over. Now shout, let it be. Not many days from here. It's like you're going to lay down, you're going to get up. And that mistreatment is going to be over. Shout, let it be. I pray for the grace of God to give you comfort and peace. I pray that the Lord will give you his wisdom and insight and let you see something that'll let you know that he is currently involved in that situation, that he has not abandoned you, that he has not forgotten about you, that God has told you that you're going to do certain things and the devil cannot stop it. Stay in peace. I speak a rest to you. Lift your hands all over this place. Just stay right there. A rest is coming upon you. Keep your hands lifted to the Lord. A rest is coming upon you. Receive it. Receive it from the Lord. A rest is coming upon you. All this agitation in your heart, because you can feel it. All that agitation and disturbance in your soul. A rest is coming on you right now. in the name of Jesus. Receive from the Lord. Come on, I wish somebody would just help. It may not be you, but it's quite a few people in this place. Just help them receive. Just help them receive. A rest is coming upon you. Even as you're standing here, a peace is hitting you that's going to surpass your understanding. You may look at the same thing for a few days, but you're going to be in total peace. Agitation, spirit of agitation, be released from them. In the name of Jesus. Disturbances, come to a halt. In the name of Jesus. And Father God, we give you all praise. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands if you receive that. Come on, give the Lord a good... Don't pat a cake with him. Come on, praise him for a second. Come on, praise him.